All right. Hey, Chris, can you hear me okay?
I can.
Awesome. Well, thank you for taking the time to join us. We're now joined by our race-winning crew chief, Chris Gabehart, for the number 11 Joe Gibbs Racing Toyota. Chris, can you talk us through what it was like up there on the pit box as the laps were winding down?
Yeah, it was a long and crazy race. I'm sure it was long and crazy to watch, but we had a really fast car. Obviously, the first 25 laps was able to kind of lead and control the race, and then come off pit road there after that competition caution and didn't get in a good spot. And, given our points scenario, there was really no reason to be aggressive. So we just rode around all day and kind of waited for people to wreck and take themselves out and waited till the end. Typically these races come down to a bunch of really short runs and, just dodged a few bullets and then woke up in a really good spot to win with plenty of fuel in the tank. And, you get Denny that close to the front of the speedway towards the end of these things, and he's going to have a great shot, and we were able to pull it out.
Great. Well, we are going to take some questions here from the media. Let's kick things off with Kelly Crandall. Go ahead, Kelly.
Thank you. Hi, Chris. Denny's talked a few times recently about the wins that's gotten away and how much he's bothered by that. Have you had to refocus him at all about what's ahead and Phoenix being the main goal and not focus too much on what's behind?
Yeah, well, but all of this race team is has been frustrated by some of that. We've certainly been running better than the results have shown for much of these last four or five races. And I just reminded to him that that's the key. That's the most important part, is performing like you're capable of winning, which we have every week. It just hasn't went our way. And racing, there's a ton of variables and you can't possibly control them all. So what you can control is how you perform. And we've been performing really well. And, race wins are the goal. And Phoenix, while at the end of that race win comes a championship, and certainly that's the goal. Our goal is to go and win Phoenix, just like our goal is to come and win all these other races. So, I wouldn't say refocus, but, certainly you got to take comfort in we've been running really well and just hadn't been getting some of the results lately.
All right, we'll take our next question from Bob Pockers. Go ahead, Bob.
Chris, just first off, I mean, are you were you when you've seen them make all these yellow line calls, are you worried at all at the end of the race, wondering, I mean, are they going to call it on them, are they not, and what's it like to, I don't know if it's a helpless feeling at all or not?
Well, I have certainly seen calls that looked questionable to me before in terms of what the driver did, and I'd be like, oh, they're that probably going to call that. But honestly, when I watched it happen live, it was very clear to me that he had to turn. His only option to not wreck was to turn left and go under the line and hope that he could maintain control of his car and finish the race. I mean, let's keep in mind here, he wasn't going below the line on the straightaways where, there's not much transition and it's fairly safe to do it. This was in the middle of the turn three and four bank, where most of the time at 200 mile an hour, you're going to wreck. So he wouldn't have done that unless there was no choice. But, in his mind, he was going to wreck if he didn't do it. And the only shot was trying to go beneath to avoid the wreck. So it honestly never occurred to me that they would call it as anything but that.
And I don't know how much you looked at the new rules for next year, but I'm curious, have you seen the CFD rules and limitations of 150 runs a month? And is that a, for us who aren't very familiar, is that a big deal?
What an interesting question, Bob. That is, you slid that one in there. That's nothing to do with
Well,
Talladega.
I'm sorry, we don't, I mean, we don't get a chance to talk to people
Yeah,
except for
no, I
after
get it. No, it's
races,
all good.
so.
To be honest with you, Bob, that's one that, yes, I have read the rules. It's not 100% my department, and certainly I'm focused on winning races this year. So it's not been at the forefront of my mind to talk with, the aero department or the crew chiefs and determine just how detrimental that would or wouldn't be to us. But I certainly know that, the technical landscape of our sport is changing, and NASCAR is continuing to try to find ways to save the team's money. And certainly, while CFD is not tangible testing in terms of a physical car and wind tunnel, it is something that we spend time and resources on. And I'm sure, you know, everybody's going to come to a responsible understanding of what that is and try to work within it.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Yep.
Our next question will come from Mark Garrow. Go ahead, Mark.
Thank you. Congratulations, Chris, on another win. Unofficially now 54 playoff points. What kind of position do you feel this puts you in to now survive the round of eight to make it to Phoenix?
Well, second best in playoff points. You know, if the four doesn't win, you know, a race, and neither do we, we'll enter into that race, you know, X amount of playoff points behind them. And then we would be fighting it out for the last point position. So, you know, I'm certainly happy that we've gained more, because I really look at the two, honestly, not the four, and say that we've earned a little bit more of a cushion over them after their win at Richmond. We kind of got our cushion back a little, but you know, I've said all along, in my view, the playoff points, no matter how many you get, serve as benefit to get through the first two rounds of the playoffs. By the time you get to the third round, then you're looking at eight guys turning into four guys over the course of three races. There's only one playoff spot that will be given to points, and that's too thin a margin to focus on and rest on. So we'll be going into the round of eight fully expecting to have to win a race.
Thank you.
All right, our next question will come from Jenna. Go ahead, Jenna.
Hey, Chris, you mentioned you guys aren't getting you hadn't been getting the results that you felt you deserved. How difficult is that, or maybe it's not, when the four team got off to the start that it did?
It's not, you know, racing's really hard. And again, there's a ton of variables, and you know, some you can control and some you can't. And, you know, Rodney and Kevin, and certainly their whole team knows that. They're a group of racers. They understand that, you know, there's a lot of things that have to go right to win a race. And they've been on the bad side of that as well. So, you know, I didn't feel bad about it, and, you know, certainly frustrated by it. You know, you certainly want to have things go your way the whole time, but I knew exactly this. What happened here at Talladega is the other side of how it can go. The key is the performance and running up front week in and week out, putting yourself in position to win. And if you do that, you'll get your fair share.
After you and the four went back and forth so much this season, did you feel like people expected that through the first round of the playoffs?
Well, certainly when you look at the first round and you talk about the racetracks, Darlington, Richmond, and Bristol, those are notoriously really good racetracks for JGR and Denny Hamlin. So, you know, you might say that, but again, I knew how we were running. You know, we were top three car every race. And, but you don't always get top three results. That's why you show up, turn the TV on, or buy a ticket and come to the race and check it out. Cause you just can't say for sure. And, you know, the key was that the performance was there, and thankfully today we had one go our way.
Thanks, Chris.
All right. Our next one will come from Dustin Long. Go ahead, Dustin.
Thank you. Chris, obviously there's different ways to run this race at Talladega, but with more and more of the races having a lot of times the crashes at the front of the field, does it just make more and more sense just to run at the back like you do? I know you guys were kind of protecting or kind of watching points, but if this isn't a playoff race, do you do the same thing because of the more and more crashes happening at the front of the field, or do you want to be at the front to try to control it?
Well, if it wasn't a playoff race, I'm not sure we would have had the patience to do it the way we did it, because the goal wouldn't have been near as obvious as it was given our points position and with the Roval next week being the definite end of another round. You know, if this is, you know, race 13 or whatever it was for Talladega 1, you ultimately you're trying to win stage points and you know, playoff points, because you don't know how the rest of the season is going to play out. So I don't know that we would have been as patient in executing it, but certainly in the situation that we were in, it just at the drop of every caution where a new scenario arose, you know, there was just never a time where the reward was worth the risk. So we just rolled around at the back until it was time to kind of roll the dice and see how we turned up, and let guys kind of beat themselves, so to speak, which fortunately, for us, you know, I don't want to say fortunately, but some of the playoff contenders did, which made our path a little more obvious. But man, it's, you just never know. You get to the end of these things and you're still staring down the barrel having to pass 25 cars, and you could just as likely wreck passing them as not. So it's tough.
Thank you.
All right. And our final question for Chris will come from Jordan Bianchi. Go ahead, Jordan.
Chris, a couple questions, if you would. When did you decide that you were going to come into Talladega with the strategy of being smart, being cautious, and riding in the back? Did you guys kind of know right away after last week's race when you look at the point standings?
But with Denny, it's unique. And this is what I really tried to coach him up on all week was, while your odds aren't great at a place like Talladega and Daytona of getting through a race unscathed, Denny's instincts produce odds that in my view are better than anyone else's at getting through the race unscathed, if he simply pays attention to his instincts and doesn't let, you know, the stress of the situation alter his instincts, you know, and that won't ensure that you get through the end. But certainly in our point scenario, my message to him was just do what you normally do at these plate races, and we will statistically have the best shot of getting to the end of it with a chance to perform. And, you know, lo and behold, that's what happened. So just really proud of him. You know, he's just so smart, and his consistent ability to measure risk versus reward on a second by second basis over the course of 3 and 4 hour races is something that I really wish our sport, you know, and it's any sport, you know, when you're looking at pro athletes, you can't necessarily put yourself in their shoes as a fan of the sport, but it's something I think gets lost in our sport. It's happening at 200 miles an hour. There are no timeouts. You're in this little cocoon with limited information. So to be able to measure risk versus reward as well as he does at these places for that long is very, very difficult to do.
Were you having to send him reminders throughout the week of, hey, this is our plan, just remember, you know, kind of put that ingrained in his head?
Well, I've said before, that's what I love about working with Denny so much is that, you know, I've had drivers in the past that have less experience, you know, or of less of caliber, or just haven't had the chance to mature yet. So with those drivers, you do have to make sure you stay focused on that, keeping the big picture in mind and sort of staying on task, that kind of thing. And while I certainly take that role with Denny when needed, he is such a sharp professional that, you know, in this scenario this week, I wasn't telling him anything he didn't already know.
Last question for me is, as you're seeing this race unfold and, you know, guys in front of you are crashing out and it's kind of putting you guys in the catbird seat, are you just kind of laughing, cackling, thinking we nailed it, this is what we needed to do and we're doing it and it's coming our way?
Well, not really. As great as a story as that'd be for me to say, yeah, sure, I had it. You know, we knew the whole time. No, we didn't, because it only, the only insurance it buys you is, you know, at one point there towards the end or by the early to middle part of the last stage, there were 29 cars left running, I think. And three of our playoff contenders had been eliminated from the race while one of them was the one. So that didn't exactly count. But you're staring down the barrel of saying, okay, I'm going to either finish 28th or I'm going to drive up through there with a car that's capable of winning and try to get a top five and wind up wrecking and finishing 28th. And conversely, the 88 and the 18, whom were, you know, eighth and ninth in points, their cars were beaten and battered. But the way, you know, Talladega and Daytona work is if they avoid all the wrecks and stay in the draft and stay in contention, they could easily run top 10. So that's what I meant when I said late in the race that you can go through such wild point swings here at the drop of a hat. And so you really never can count your chickens until they hatch.
Thank you.
All right, Chris. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to join us. Congratulations on another win. We'll see you at the Roval.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. All righty. And to the media, that will conclude our post-race media availability at Talladega Super Speedway. As always, thank you for your coverage. And if you have any questions, feel free to reach out to anyone on the NASCAR communications team, and the audio, video, and transcripts will be on NASCARmedia.com shortly. Thank you, guys.